appreciate the lesson tonight, the work of the church. What should a church be doing? We look around us all over the place, and we see churches doing a lot of things that I think that Keith and I would agree is not the work of the church. We are going to provide you with an opportunity tonight to ask a question, or questions if you have any. So we're going to open the floor up in just a moment for that opportunity. Keith has graciously agreed to answer questions from the audience. So if you have one, if you maybe not have one yet, you may can think of one here pretty quickly. But we're going to give you an opportunity to ask that. I know a lot of times preachers preach sermons, and they never really put on the spot. Well, tonight, Keith has put himself and been willing to put himself on the spot. So if you have any questions, could you raise your hand and we'll acknowledge you. We're going to try to come to you with a mic and let you ask a question if you have one. I have some written down if we don't have any here quickly. Some that have been given to me. So does anyone have a question?
I don't need a mic.
You don't need a mic.
Thank you. Good question. I'm going to repeat the question so it can be recorded.
Yes.
What is the core reason that people take it upon themselves to do what the Lord has not authorized? Is that the question?
Well, take it upon themselves, their own authority.
Yes. Lack of faith is the main thing. Lack of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And the second thing is self-will, that they put their own will over the will of God. So that's and a third reason would be simple ignorance. As I said concerning David, he needed to have read his Bible. David, a prophet of God, you think he would have known what Numbers chapter 4 said, but he didn't. So that's the three reasons that come to my mind immediately, that he'd study the Bible, self-will, lack of faith.
I want to know, are these things these people are doing, they're doing it in vain, or do they realize?
They're doing it in vain, do they realize it? Was that
yes.
the question?
Yes.
You know, that's a wonderful statement you made as far as the doing it in vain. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's how Jesus described the Pharisees of his day, who were the most religious people perhaps in the world, but they were doing their will rather than the Lord's will. Do they realize it? Well, you know, as learned as the Pharisees were in the Old Testament law of God, apparently they did not realize it. And, of course, you get into the whys and the wherefores of that. It gets into motives. Jesus could read people's minds. I can't. I can say what the Lord said concerning people's motives, but you're 100% right. If the church is doing things that are not authorized by the Lord, though to them it seems a good thing to do, and they may be honest and sincere thinking it's good, it's still in vain. It's a good observation. Thank you.
Okay, Lee. Okay.
I like to shop at the Salvation Army right down the street from here, about a mile or less. If I continue to do so, am I promoting the work of false doctrine?
Now, that's a really good question, and I appreciate that. My answer is no. There is a difference between buying a service and making a contribution. Making a contribution, you're trying to help that particular organization. I would not, when the Salvation Army sets up its kettles around Christmas time, I do not put any money into those kettles. But I don't believe there's anything wrong with buying something that you might need there. And in fact, I know that my wife has bought things there and from Goodwill, which is another organization, by the way, that's owned by a denomination. And particularly, not only for our own use, yes, we have done those, but also to send brethren over in Africa and other places so that they can have clothing to wear. But you're just buying a service. That's, you're not having fellowship. You're not sharing with their work. No, I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. Thanks for the good question.
My question is, what about a congregational group doing a benevolent service that's not monetary, but that is of a collective service?
Okay. I'm going to give an example of something that I think, and it's a good question, I think falls into that category, and see if this fits what you're talking about. When we were up in northern New York, where we were for 14 years, a lot of the young military people would come to the congregation where I preached, and they were from an institutional background. And so we found out a lot of things they were doing by that way. And a number of them had called themselves that they had been in doing mission work, is the terminology they would do, or they would use. And when they talked about that, for example, one thing that came to mind, some of them had been to Honduras and had built houses for people. This is the kind of thing you're talking about. And well, that's very much benevolent work. And, you know, if there's an organization that is not the local church doing that, it may be well and good. I'll give you an example of something that's well and good, and I'm glad that we do it. When I go to Uganda, Lord willing, I'll be back in Uganda next February, over in East Africa. I will work in the city of Jinja, which is on Lake Victoria, where the Nile River leaves Lake Victoria. And a big presence there in Jinja is the United States government with USAID. And most of the help that's given to, and that, by the way, is kind of the epicenter for the AIDS epidemic. I'm around people all of the time over there that have AIDS or that are HIV positive, and some of them things that are, you know, diseases that are related to AIDS that they've gotten. And the chief help that's going to them to get them the medicine that will help them is from the United States government, USAID. Well, I'm very glad the American government is doing that. I don't want to get into politics, as far as I'm concerned, it's money well spent, but I don't believe it's the work of the church. And so I don't believe that local congregations ought to be sending young people, anybody else, to Honduras to build houses for people in general. Now, if they could help out brethren who are in need in Honduras or brethren who are in need in Uganda, well and good. But we cannot be, as local congregations, promoting, organizing, planning work that is not the work of the local church. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you. These are really good questions, Don.
Any other questions?
Glad you had this idea.
Any other questions, Carl?
Kind of building on that concept, would you mind clarifying the distinction between the work of a local congregation and the work of a group of Christians who are not part of the congregation or not working as a congregation?
Right. A great biblical illustration of that is Matthew 18, 15 through 17. In Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he will not hear you, verse 16, take with you one or two others, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. There's a group of two or three people, but it's not the church. But if he will not hear them, tell it to the church. Then it's the church. Okay? And so we might get together and have a fishing trip. And that would be perfectly well and good, but it should not be planned by the elders of the church because they're elders. It's not something that the church ought to underwrite as far as any money involved. But notice I said, if the elders plan it in their role as elders, that still makes it the work of the church, doesn't it? And so it's not anything that the elders in their role as elders ought to be planning, a fishing trip or whatever it would be. But there's not anything wrong with two or three fellows who are Christians getting together and going fishing or any other thing that is both moral and legal. Did that answer the question? Okay.
Okay, do we have any other questions?
Okay, Keith, I had a couple that were handed to me. Actually, I had three. You answered one of them just now about the elders. I was asked, does money have to be involved in order for a church to be involved in a work?
No.
So, okay, what would you say or how would you answer the argument that is sometimes made that social, recreational, and even entertainment are used as a means of or an aid to evangelizing or edifying?
I'm going to give two answers to that. Come back Thursday night. That's what the lesson will be about. but so that I don't just dodge the question tonight, one work can no more be an aid to another work. Now listen carefully. Than one form of music can be an aid to another form of music. If brethren can see, you can't have instrumental music as an aid to singing. It's another kind of music. We ought to be able to see that one work, whether it's benevolence or recreation or whatever, it cannot be an aid to another kind of work, which is reaching the lost, evangelism. And then there's several other arguments I will use on Thursday night. Okay.
Okay, good. Everybody has to just come back Thursday night and hear the rest of it. Secondly, what is the difference between a water fountain and a family life center?
Well, there's a lot of differences. That gets back to, you know, as you know, that is probably the oldest argument that I know of for the church to engage in things that are not authorized. Well, you've got restrooms over there. You've got a water fountain in your meeting house. Well, you can say you've got a meeting house. It's not mentioned either. But all of those are. Notice, the first lesson in this series of lessons, Sunday morning, was the nature of authority. That it is exclusive and inclusive. It excludes whatever's not authorized. It includes everything necessary and incidental to carrying out what the Lord has commanded. Now, we are commanded to assemble to worship the Lord. I just give Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. There are things that are incidental to that, and some things are necessary. You have to have a place of some kind. It does not have to be a church building. I have assembled under a baobab tree in southern Africa, okay, with the saints. There are different places. Whatever it works out for the brethren locally, that's the answer to where you should assemble. But you have to have a place to assemble. And then there's things that are incidental, things that have to do with our comfort while we're here. That includes restrooms. It includes air conditioning. It includes fans and lights. It includes a water fountain. Those are incidental to our coming together to worship the Lord. And when we have those things, we don't do anything in addition to that which the Lord authorizes to assemble to worship the Lord.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay.
Thank you. That question and answer part, I think, was the best part of the whole thing.